Current podcast.
Current podcast.
Current podcast. Find us everywhere you listen to podcasts. Now you get to see what it takes to create something for y'all to listen to and watch. I hope y'all appreciate it. Let's get it.
Gideon, he's a YouTuber.
No longer a YouTuber, though.
Yeah, he became Christian.
But he just said he's going to stop.
He's quitting. He said he's leaving his channel, bro. I don't know what he's going to work at now, but...
I think he made enough money to you know, that's something that really grinds my gears. That people feel like, you know, just because now you believe in God, you can't survive.
Well, I never...
No, I'm not saying you. First of all, I said people, not you, man. See?
Hey, woo, I am part of people.
Today, man.
I am people. What you mean, bro?
But you're not the
people. Am I not part of the human race? Do you see me as another species or something?
Correct.
I'm not people.
You're not.
Oh, you see me as another species. What species do you see me at?
You're Klingon, bro.
He can't even say it right.
Okay.
You don't care, he offended bro. All the Star Trek fans right now.
I offended you right now, bro, because you're like, you didn't say it right.
You mother shaka.
Yeah, man.
Nah, but that's kind of wild because then I look at kind of like, you know, what really grinds my gears too is how Lauryn Hill has been treated this whole time about why she's late to her concerts. And then I come to find out, she said, you know, she got family she's dealing with. She can't just, you know, leave six people at once, you know, six people at once, that are her kids. You know what I'm saying? That it was kind of interesting that
she... You know what grinds my gears?
What?
When people say that, I won't understand what it's like to have kids to have my own kids.
Oh. Hey.
But that's a valid point. But you won't understand until you have your own kids.
I understand where it's valid, but at the same time, there's logical aspects that it's like people should... You should, like, if you don't understand
there's common sense.
You're an idiot.
There's a lot of motherfucking idiots out there.
I understand that there's a fact that, like, okay, I don't have my own child, so I don't know what
to love it in that way. To love it in that degree.
It's like, it's almost like this way. Like, I don't want to put it so materialistic or anything like that, bro, but let me just give this comparison. Like, just because I agree with the fact that I don't know what it is, because it's not just like I haven't created another life, so I don't know that exact feeling.
You don't have that attachment
bond.
Yet.
Yes,
you don't have
exactly.
That attachment yet.
So let me just throw my comparison out, because that would be a bad comparison.
Your dog is the closest thing you might have.
But even then, like,
it's not the same.
I would definitely assume it's not the same.
I just feel like
it's like you create another human being with that person.
Honestly, I used to feel bothered when I was told that, you know, and then once I had my first, it really just changed. But then even then, I saw this thing today that made me really reflect. And it said something about how I want to apologize to my firstborn, because my firstborn saw me broken, saw me weak, saw me trying to figure it out. And they grew up with me. They saw me go through the struggle and overcome it. And now we're, you know, where we're at, and I appreciate my firstborn for being my firstborn. It was like a gratitude post.
Yeah. Well, it's like a kid raising a kid, basically.
Yeah, bro. That's... I really took it like, you know, because your first one is really going to teach you so much about yourself that, I mean...
Well, it's a lot about your patience, right? I mean, they say kids are the best scientists, because you're going to test everything about you.
Mm-hmm.
Test your patience, test like how you instruct them, how you guide them. So if it's being tested... And every single moment, at every single aspect, it's like, you know, when you deal with the kid and they give you that famous question, why? And you keep answering, and it's like, why and why?
But I feel like, bro, look, you know, the crazy thing about life is that you're saying being tested, right? Mm-hmm. But it depends on the child. Because that child can come out the womb as be the most peaceful little child that you don't have... You're not getting tested at all right now. It's just all peaches and cream. But then... There's phases in this child's life, right? And where I hear other parents would be like, yeah, when they were kids, they didn't give me no trouble. Once they become an adolescent, a teenager, it was all hell. You know what I'm saying? And then there's other people that be like, oh, he had to grow up, leave the house for me to start having worries about him and shit like that. Where it's like, as a parent, that shit never goes away. You're still going to worry about your kids. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the whole part of communication. That's the reason I communicate with my parents till this day. It's like, I don't have to, but I do it. Like, for example, I got off of work. I was like, hey, I'm at the shop. I don't have to give them a full explanation what I'm doing. But it's just to let them know, hey, I'm still alive.
Right.
you know, when I leave from here, I'm most likely gonna send them a text. Hey, on my way home.
Right.
You know? But it's not like they're calling like, me, blowing me up or anything like that. But it's just simple communication.
Would you not?
Even when I do go out and I come back at like 2-4 in the morning, I let them know. Because the thing is that I know my parents, bro. I've gotten home to where like sometimes they don't even sleep until I get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like I know that they worry so much that I'd rather give them a text. I'd rather just let them know, hey, everything's
all right.
That's dope
that you just, you know.
If you, like, you guys can knock out. It's fine. I'll be there in a bit, you know, like.
Because I kind of go, like, I like my brother saying, what's that saying that you say, my brother, where you say, blood makes us related, but we're, you always say something about, you know, we're brothers by
choice. We're friends by choice.
Basically. Right, exactly. So I feel like that happens also with your parents. You know what I'm saying? And that's beautiful that you have that relationship with your parents, because I know some kids and parent relationships that it's like...
Oh, yeah. Each dynamic is different.
They don't have that friendship. It's more like a dictatorship even at the age of 30. And you're like, what the fuck? You know? And I'm astonished to it because I look at myself and I question it. Like, when will I let go of the leash?
Yeah,
in a sense, you know, because it's like right now I have my son tight.
The thing is that you're never gonna let go of the leash, and I say that because like till this day, my dad still is giving me advice. You know, like it's not like he's trying to like, oh, like you need to do what I say, but
not
it's
control
more like,
you?
It's not like controlling. Instructing and just like, hey, I see that this part of your life, right?
See, I like
this.
That word, instructing. Right. I don't feel like my dad lectures me anymore. Yeah. I feel like I do get a lot of instruction from him. But then now I do feel like, you know, we have moments where we clash because I have my own opinion, I have my own thoughts, but it's still this thing where I know myself now, even the version that I'm becoming myself now is interesting because when I see the conversations we have, I do see where like, damn, okay, the old self of myself is coming out and I'm starting to like bicker, get into the same little argumentative pattern or whatever. But then I catch myself. But as far as like that bond and friendship, I feel like now I'm trying to build that friendship and relationship with my
parents.
It's
just like my dad, since I was a little kid, my dad has both of my parents, like I've been able to have access to where I can be myself. I've never been deprived from like being myself, talking and expressing myself. And I understand that's the relationship I have. Other people have different relationships with their parents because each parent is different in how they manage their stuff. But I consider myself lucky in the sense that I can tell them like what I've been through. What like they know parts of my life, you know, where it's like I've been able to share that. But it's because one of the things that I understand is they're so into God and the love of Christ that I know that they're able to love me in spite of what I tell them.
Right.
You know, I would say like one of the biggest battles like currently right now, it's usually because of the music I listen to. Right.
So they disagree with it.
Oh, hardly. But when they get into my car, they know they're going to listen to reggaeton. When they get into my car, they know that I'm bumping reggaeton. They know that. And it's like, bro, like I play music and my dad was just like, because he's listening to the lyrics, you know. And he'll be like, do you understand? Like later on, like he won't tell me in the car, but he'll tell me later on.
He won't ruin the moment.
Yeah. He'll tell me, he's like, this is not beneficial to you. He'll be like, look, like, I get it. You're young and you're in that phase where you're like, that's the lifestyle right now. He's like, but he's like, in my age, in my era, there was stuff like this as well. He's like, it's not going to benefit you. He's like, because this is shaping your mentality. He's like, you have to have a different mentality. He's like, get away from this. Like, he gives me those, like, it's advice. But it's like, and it's understandable because what you listen to is what you begin to believe, you know, and what you listen to begins to shape your mind. So I understand his point of view, but at the same time, I have a part of me where it's like, but I love this. So then the question begins, is it really beneficial for me? And that's where the decision has to be of like, do I continue this or do I get away from this?
But do you feel that reggaeton has got you where like, oh, it's very detrimental to your life and like, you can see where your dad's coming from, but you also, you're living it by actually being the one listening to it and partaking in the music and letting it impact you. But I don't feel personally that it's impacted you to be a mujeriego or, you know what I'm saying, or ropa corazones.
Who's
you know?
To say?
Who's to say?
Who's to say, man? I'm he's a secret. Manny's a mysterious man, bro.
I'm speaking, exactly. And somebody that listens to reggaeton is very sloppy sometimes. They're very toxicos, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I gotta be honest, you know, yeah. Like,
but
that's what really grinds my gears. I'm
just kidding. That's what really grinds your gears. Well, to answer your question on that, I mean, it has changed a lot of my mentality. I mean, I grew up. I remember the first time I listened to reggaeton, and this was like I was probably like 12, and I listened to a song of Wisin and Yandel. I remember that. And it does change your perspective.
Because
it does, at the end of the day, let's be honest, it does degrade women. It's this, let's just be honest with it. Like, it's very explicit. I've always said that Spanish
music. You know what's funny though?
Gets away
with degrading women, or is it being very sexual? Is it sexualizing women?
You know what's hilarious though?
Let's go.
That kind of grinds my gears as well.
Because it
what Manny is saying is very correct, but women love it.
It's true.
They love it.
Yeah,
and it's like, and that's even why
in the bedroom, if you tell somebody like call me a slut, or they'll tell you some wild dirty shit.
That's where it's permitted.
Like in that aspect too, that's something that does grind my gears a lot when it comes to like the double standard that women put out there, where it's like. Like, for example, when it comes to Bad Bunny and like just, I want to put that example out there. Like, he talks about basically like cheating on women, having orgies with women, all this type of stuff. And I'm like,
but
yo,
they want
if
a faithful guy.
I'm like, yeah, if your man was talking like that, what do you think? Like, you know what I mean? They want to put Bad Bunny on this certain pedestal or this, like, in my head, I'm like, yo, like, it's the same principle. And it's like we're talking about. Yeah. You start talking about all this stuff, you're going to attract that type of dude into your life.
Mm-hmm. And that type of girl.
And then you're going to be mad at it. That's why, low-key, when we went to Mike Towers, bro, and I saw, like, and I've seen this a lot, but when we went to Mike Towers specifically, I feel like it was just a whole different thing because it was a little smaller venue than when we went to SoFi or all these other places. And I saw the women, like, acting the way they were when they see Mike Towers. And
I feel
like
the Mike Towers concert... Probably because it was a smaller venue.
And we were
it was one of the wildest.
I think it was just... What we just saw in our row, bro.
Yeah,
was
but not like, even just that. Everybody around us, bro. Like, everybody, bro. Like,
it just made me realize, like, yo, I do not need to be with any of these women in here, like, at all.
Wow.
Bro, like, I'm not even... Like, you're going to be around them in the sense that you... Because you're there. But, like, I'm not going to be... You should be pursuing none of these women.
Like, that's exactly. You can dance with them for that night... But you're like, that's it.
Look, I feel like if somebody
no
gets
follow-ups.
There are very few exceptions to these rules, obviously, that you don't want to wife a woman that you meet at a concert, at a club, at a club, at any social gathering that's very that's very kind of like, what would I say?
Sexualized,
or just puts like at a strip club, you don't want a wife or woman that you meet at a strip club.
I'm in love with a stripper.
So it's kind of like this thing where you have to really start considering what environment you're going to natural selection place at. Because even if you go to a club and you're looking for love, right?
Well, that's not where you find it, bro.
As a man, let me tell you. And you going in the club with some fresh J's and a dope shirt and maybe a couple chains showing. You got, you know, and they see you getting out the car, whatever car you might be having, if it's not a hoopty or whatever, man, they going to choose up. Mm. And if you the one they choosing up to, bruh, you better mind your business. Mind your business and strap up, man.
You're talking about right now, right? The people that have the perception or have the money or have that, right? But it's like, all right, you go to the club, right? This is different. This is the funniest thing to me. If you were to pull up in a Honda, you got to park over there, right? But if you pull up with the Ferrari, let me park it for you right here in front.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, bro, if you're pulling up with a Honda, like, you want to park a couple blocks down, like, just for your own good, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, period.
Depending on the Honda, because today when I walked out to the parking lot, I saw the brand new 2023 Honda, maybe the 2024 Honda Civic. My boy, they had a fat lip on the back of the trunk. Oh, bro. And then they had little side vents on the side of the mirror. See, the problem is that, though. That should look clean, bro.
The problem is, though, is that you're going to start seeing that a lot more.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
What, the Honda Civics?
Yeah.
But,
like, even though you see, like, a lot more Lambo trucks nowadays, it's still going to be a lot more exclusive.
There's a lot of Urus. A lot of Urus out here for some reason.
But you would also,
I've been seeing them way too much.
But, yeah. I mean, but if you even notice, that's because a lot of them are out on credit, man.
Yeah, true.
Sure. Ain't, like, mm-hmm. nobody really buying that car cash, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, that's what's really grinds my gears about California, that it has a certain perception of like, a wealth, when it's like, you know, it's not really like that. We barely came by in California. It's California.
We saw that. We saw that video, and I've known this for a long time because I know that, and I'm not doing this to talk shit or nothing like that. But I know that Armenians do this, that they'll buy cars within a group.
Literally, they told me that. Like 3 weeks ago,
you know what I mean?
When we were talking this topic of like, there's a lot of Urus. He's like, oh, they bought that in a group.
Yeah,
what's wrong? But it's like, hey, what's wrong with that?
I'm
though?
Not and tripping like, though. Yeah, I don't think there's nothing wrong with
that.
It,
would be fire. If we, like, I ain't think about. It. We should buy a Urus. Fuck you, yo.
Yeah, and bro. Charity fuck you, dog. Hey, yeah,
exactly. And this week,
look, put it
not
this way,
even,
bro.
Like,
if Enzo has a Urus, bro, I'm like, let me use the Benz then, dog. Like,
ooh,
you know what I'm saying, dog? Like,
hey, but look, they see. This is the thing about it.
Hey, Byron, that means that your next car better be a badass Lexus, bro.
Let's say if you're driving,
we're all switching this shit, bro.
But this is the thing about it. Look, think about it. Think about it big picture, y'all. Look, I like this idea because think about it big picture. It's all about perception, right?
So
let's say at the end of the day, let's say you have to go do a meeting, Manny, and you got to go close a meeting with the company.
Yeah, your car can open different things.
You know what I'm saying? And like you said, I need to get it parked in the front.
Yeah.
And you go to a valet at a certain office building, the valet is going to be like, oh, I got you right here in the front, my boy.
They treat you different automatically.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the treatment.
And 9 times out of 10, if you're going to a building that you're going upstairs and the people that you're going to go see can see you, they're looking. If you have an appointment, trust me, I've been told mad times, oh, I saw you coming up. You have a nice car. And I be tripping out on that, bro. It's been a few times, fam, where that happens. So, trust me, even if it was like, let's say we collectively all put it on Highly Addictive LLC and we all put in a monthly note, we all paying for a sick-ass Maybach, all of us. And then a few times out the week, we exchange that over. We pay, you know, pay the gas together, whatever, or else we all go together and ride in it or whatever. Like, just think about it, bro. It's perception. So, and that's another thing about the material thing. Does it really matter?
Nah, you don't take any of that to the grave.
Exactly.
Nah, bro. So put my money in the grave. When I die.
Yo, mean.
That song go hard.
All right, Pharaoh. All right, Pharaoh. You're going to put on your tomb all together and shit.
Yes, bro.
And then, but if you really think about it.
Tries to come
like, let's
riches,
say
if
our brotherhood is that tight and that. Because this is the thing. Things like that can destroy a friendship.
If it's not clear in the money and the system.
Right, but I also feel like if people put that material object over a friendship, is where I feel like, damn.
Well, were they your friends in the first place?
Exactly.
Yeah, but here's the thing about the car thing that you were talking about. I just want to bring up
go ahead.
So, for example.
My little tangent is over.
For example, El Alfa. When El Alfa bought the Bugatti that he got, the first Bugatti he got. A lot of people didn't respect him prior to that. This is very interesting. Mm. Like, they didn't record with him. They didn't respect him like that. But when he bought a Bugatti, automatically, there was people that got interested in him. There was artists that when they saw him with that car,
That's why Andrew Tate was like, what color is it?
It's the gold Chiron?
Okay. Automatically, there was people who wanted to record with him, and that helped him become even more international.
Damn, and so that's what Manny is saying is once we get our Bugatti, we're going to have all the podcast guests, bro.
Pretty much.
That's what he's saying, dog.
Pretty much.
We're talking about how cars open doors. It's all about perception.
We're going to get a rap, and it's going to have the current podcast on it, right?
Hey, all right?
Straight up, bro.
I shit you not. Let's say if we get a, we just get a bullshit fucking Ford, those no window ones, and we wrap that bitch and we drive that shit.
We're gonna get a G-Wagon, dog.
Ooh, and we wrap that's a tax write-off. That's a $7,000 car right there. A 7,000-pound car right there. We could write that motherfucker off real quick.
Yeah.
Damn, my volume went up real quick. That Henny is on. But
bro, that coffee just,
you know what really grinds my gears? That when you drink Henny, you can't fucking even understand the volume that you're speaking.
The volume?
And he lowers his voice.
I know.
As he's telling you.
Because you can't understand it.
You can't understand it. You're fucking it. So, yo, he's already on this shit. Nah, man. But for real, like one thing that I've been seeing lately, and it honestly, it not only does it grind my gears, but it dumbfounds me at some point. Dumbfounded by it. Just because it's like, when I saw this post about I kind of get it. Get taking a girl maybe to Chili's or some shit. I get that maybe.
What's wrong with Chili's?
Nothing wrong with it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
What the fuck?
Chili's but when bomb. They put cheesecake on that list, like number one, bro, I was like, yo, you tripping, bro. You know how many guys, both of y'all hadn't been to Cheesecake until I took y'all to Cheesecake.
Facts.
I ain't went. So the fact that there's men out there, the that first haven't time gone I went to Cheesecake
was on my 30th birthday in Vegas.
Right. There's women out there that ain't okay with it.
So let's read this list.
Before you read even that list, before you even get to that list, bro, there was one other thing that I saw. I think I posted yesterday. It was like, man, a lot of these girls, females too, that are making these requirements or whatever, getting free lunch in high school, bro.
Middle school, elementary, preschool.
Some of them are talking about all this and wearing some fake ass clothes from Shein, from Temu.
Oh, it's real. It's just from Shein and Temu, bro. That's all.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, but you know,
it's not branded yet.
It's not branded.
They haven't secured a bag
bro,
yet.
Bro, but I'm saying, bro, like, there's nothing wrong with cheesecake, dog. Like, that food is low key some top tier food.
For the first date?
I don't care. Not even. I don't care if it's the last day, my boy. Cheesecake is valid, bro.
I do give a female that, like, yo, you can't repeatedly always, you know, because I'm.
First day, first of all, bro. I'm sorry, bro. Like,
first date, I don't think cheesecake is bad.
I'm meeting you most likely on that first date, probably. And you want me to, like that's the one thing where it's like, that materialistic stuff, too, like, that does also grind my gears. It's like, you're going you something's gonna break a bank for someone that you're not gonna talk to ever again. Probably. But
that's what I'm saying. I also feel like these lists that are going around.
All right, let's read the list. Though.
Are
let's,
for certain people that like
for the. This is for a first date.
Bro, threes are saying this. What are you talking about? Bro?
28 that are on the list. Right. Number one, Cheesecake Factory. Number two,
bro.
Applebee's. Three, Chili's. Number four, Chipotle. Number five, Olive Garden. Number six, the movies. Number seven, your house. Number eight, any fast food chain. Number nine, that Buffalo Wild Wings. Number 10, Wingstop. Number 11, Red Lobster. 12, a buffet. 13, IHOP. 14, Denny's. 15, the gym. 16, church. 17, Starbucks.
You see, she don't want to go to church on the first day. That's a red flag, yo.
Coffee dates. 19, ice cream dates. 20, family functions. 21, movie night. 22, somewhere that requires a long drive. 23, bowling. 24, nightclubs. 25, hookah bar. 26, a bar just for drinks. 27, Waffle House. And 28, sports events.
Bro, I remember my sister saw this thing and I'm like, where are we going then? Like, where are we supposed to go if you just ruled out like the entire LA County and whatnot, bro?
Sushi restaurants, sporting bro. Events.
Your sister's born in the 80s, bro. This list was made by a Gen Z woman.
Sushi restaurants, bro.
Only a Gen Z.
That wasn't on the list, bro. Only they want you to break the bag, bro. $100 on a date, bro. It's the same thing you would spend at Cheesecake Factory.
So she's too. Well, you see, young.
Like
she's
at least when it comes to me, bro, at a Cheesecake Factory, I can actually eat, bro.
All I gotta say is if she doesn't. Hey, all I gotta say is Aries, and you'll second that. Is if she don't fuck with Cheesecake Factory, she's too young for you, bro.
Yeah.
That's anyway, all I gotta say, bro.
Specifically, this was the first date.
Am I wrong?
Right?
Am I wrong?
We all approve this message. Wait. So this was the first date, right?
Yeah, it was the first date.
I didn't hear coffee shop on there. So
no, it is. Did, you probably didn't hear me when I said it.
Then but it was, but these hoes love Starbucks. What the fuck?
No, no, that was dark. So 17 was Starbucks. 18 was coffee.
You can't
dates.
Take no women to Starbucks either.
Bro, and 19 was ice cream dates.
I apologize for calling you with HR.
I'm
going
to clip this right now. I need a girl to tell me what is an appropriate first date. Where, like... Does it say beach on there?
I think Mars is a good diagnosis. No,
the beach is not on the list.
Yeah, you gotta take him to
but
Mars.
Bro. What Jupiter. Is on the list is Jupiter anywhere probably, that requires maybe Venus. A long drive. So no places that require a long drive.
Just
this is girls who women this. They prefer to go to a fast food.
This is on a. No, they said no fast food.
No, but cheesecake was like first on the list. Number one, yeah. Fast food was like 7 or 8.
Yeah, correct.
Damn, so she down with the McDonald's then, you know what I'm saying? And before she's down for cheesecake, basically.
Hey, bro, you can count it as luxury now. It's like 17 or 18 bucks for a Big
dude,
Mac now.
It's crazy, dude.
You know what really grinds my gears?
That you no longer have a dollar menu because McDonald's employees ask for a raise?
Nah, that these females...
You eat at McDonald's!
That these females have high standards of what they want to go be taken out on a first date. But they're not even like the type of women that you want to take home to meet your mother on the first date.
Straight up. Hey, and that's one thing that I just saw recently.
What? Is that not right? What? Most of them, bro, you gotta fucking vet them before you even think you're gonna take them to your mom's house, bro.
Facts.
Back in the fucking 80s and the 70s,
That's the reason my mom has only met two.
Woo!
In my life.
Damn, man. My boy is not fucking 25. He about 32, man.
He just turned 30. Only met two, bro. Damn. Nah, no, that's valid as hell, bro.
Yeah, you're gonna have to clip that one real quick.
Yeah, no, it's facts, bro. It's just cause like that's a very big thing. You're gonna be introduced to mom, like you gotta have those qualities that my mom like. Have you guys seen that TikTok where the guy walks in with the girl?
And here's the other thing.
And then like, have you guys seen that one though where it's a Hispanic mom and it's like every time at the first couple of videos, there was something like off bat that the mom was like, nah. And it was like this last one I saw, he walks in, the girl's like good looking and everything. And then she like pulls him aside like, oh, like she's really good and this and that. And then she comes in, she like interrupts and she's like, hey, we still gonna hit this blunt? And then she goes, fuck. Because like, you
know I mean? Like, she's cute, but she's a pothead.
Yeah, you know what I mean? She didn't have like no tattoos. She didn't come with no kid. Like it all looked good. And so she was like, hey, you have a lighter? We still gonna hit this blunt? Like,
right.
Totally killed it.
Well, that's my thing,
but
though.
But like, the other thing is at the end of the day, like your mom's opinion matters as well. Because moms can see things that sometimes you guys can't. And that's where you're like...
If I'm being honest with you, my mom's opinion is probably the only one that matters.
But what if you can't see your mom?
Ooh.
Well, that's why you got other people to help you vet them. That's why you got to have people around you if that's not an option.
That is
now you
true.
Better pray to God twice as hard, bro. That's what I'm telling you right now.
I mean...
Ask God for the signs twice as hard.
Hey, people will look at the signs and still be there.
I feel like, you know what? Something that I've been really realizing about what happens with people is also their pattern. So if your pattern was, you know, as a child, your mom, like my boy said, wasn't there, your pattern's going to just reflect that in the future kind of, you know? So it's up to us to start catching that early.
That's another thing that grinds my gears.
What?
When people use the excuse of like, oh, but they were raised differently. That's very true. People are raised differently, but at some point we all grew up.
Yeah.
And we all understand right from wrong. And if you're still doing things that are wrong, it's like, that's not an excuse. Like, I think that when you can use that as an excuse of being raised differently, it's like being loved differently and all that stuff. But it's like, well, if you're just a jerk,
well,
if you're just
people
not
use it
good
as a crutch.
To other people, yeah. But if you're just not good to other people, it's like, bro, like... Like you should know that that's not right to like be bad to people,
well,
or to betray people, to be disloyal to people, like that type of stuff. Like, that's not like, you know what I'm trying to say.
That
like,
just goes big. Manny says this all the time about ass. You know having values and having principles. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have those principles and values, you won't have the qualities to show
at
that.
At the end of the
know?
Day, education happens in the home. It doesn't happen in school. Like, school can teach you basic knowledge, right? Like, you go to school.
1+1.
You learn basic knowledge, knowledge that helps you navigate the world, right? In the sense of logic. But it doesn't give you, like, education in the sense of, like, how to have social communication, how to respect people. That's something that happens at home. That type of education is at home, and you see it from the people around you, how they carry themselves, how they conduct themselves, how do they communicate with one another. For you to see, okay, this is how you respect. Okay, this is how you love on one another. This is how you communicate your feelings. And that's the other thing, is that a lot of people, when they don't have the vocabulary to express what's going on inside of them,
Boom. They
express it through violence.
Boom.
Because they don't have the vocabulary to express what they're feeling.
See, to me, like, I like that you use vocabulary a bit, but I feel like at the same time, especially when you're talking about a grown-up person, I think that the vocabulary is there because obviously, but
well, not everybody.
I think the literate percentage
in this country is freaking high, bro.
You know what I think it is? It's not there. That maybe I'm taking it to another point. I feel like when someone needs to speak what's going on inside them, sometimes
passive aggressive,
their tongue gets cut off.
But in that, well, you know that, I mean? In that sense, but that's another part of the social, right? Like, for example, we're talking about in California. In California, it's very normal for people to be passive aggressive because that's the thing here in California. In California, like, there's a lot of people that are very passive aggressive. It's very few people that are very upfront and can tell you straight to your face, like, hey, that bothered me. Hey, that made me feel uncomfortable. A lot of people prefer the passive aggressiveness because socially, that's what's acceptable here in California. Travel somewhere else. Automatically, you'll see the difference.
Oh, for sure.
I'm pretty sure when you went to New York, you saw the difference because in New York, it's about being upfront.
Hey, motherfucker, you stepped in my shoe.
Straight to your face. Why? Because they rather deal with the problem there instead of dealing with it later.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, it, once again, that all has to do with, like, the community you're in and how that community handles it. So that also affects the person when they're conducting themselves. However, it's a choice. Back to what you were saying, right? You can be embedded with information, but even though you're embedded with information, at the end of the day, it's a choice to then say, okay, I want to actually carry myself this way. I want to actually behave this way within my social group.
Yeah.
But I feel like that also takes, like, time for somebody to mature and get that type of character. Even, like, let's say if you don't go to a church or you don't go to, you have to experience certain things to start realizing, like, damn, I don't want to be treated like this. I can't keep giving this energy out because I'm going to keep getting it back. So eventually you're going to have to either adjust, adapt to start getting the right energy you want to get. Because honestly, that's something that I've learned in my sobriety, that it's like you get what you give, literally. It's like some people call it karma. Some people call it, you know, getting what you give. Or there's so many things that people call it. But being a piece of shit person, like you said, there's a lot of them out there.
And I think that at some point, it's also like you don't have to allow those people to be a part of your life.
And that's the part of setting boundaries.
And that's why I feel like sometimes when it's like, oh, well, that person's like that, like, they're like, you have to forgive them because they're like, and I'm like, no, like, I can forgive them. It doesn't mean I'm gonna put myself in the line of fire.
Something that really grinds my gears, that what you're saying, that recently it came to my attention that somebody that I used to know referred to me as a some type of closet tweaker or something like that. That really had me laughing, because little does that person know that I'm living the best life that I'm living, but they have so much bitterness in their heart that they just rather create a fantasy of where I'm down in their mind. You know what I'm saying? And down bad, because a tweaker to me is like one of the That's some Walter White shit right there, bro.
Seriously.
And you know what I'm saying? And it just makes me feel like, damn, bro, how down bad can you be that you want to project this onto me? You know, because I'm really trying to live my life as kind of like, me and my wife are talking about it, like examples of how you need to be in the community. And we're coaching, we got the three kids, we got a barbershop, like, we're trying to keep this marriage together. Like, we got all these things that we're really like, dang, like, we're really looking back. And then we also see how, like, there's certain people that come to try to fuck with that or try to fuck with the image, or they don't like seeing that image. They really, some people are very self-sabotaging, you know? So you have to build boundaries around people that they see something good happening and they want to step all over that garden that you're planting. And that's one thing that my mentor told me this week. I just saw him on Friday and he was like, look, everybody has a garden to tend to. Yep. And when you're tending to your garden, you will never know who and what is a weed until you get closer to expect. And you have to get on your knees to inspect the garden. You can't water a garden without at least dropping on one knee to water a specific plant in there that you want to grow. And that shit had me like, damn, bro. Hey,
my favorite verse in the entire Bible is Genesis 2:15.
Boom.
Genesis 2:15 is where God gives the instruction to Adam and he tells him, guard and tend. And for me, it's one of the most crucial things for life. Because as you're saying, we're all given a space, right? We call it garden. We can call it whatever we want, right? But we're all given some sort of opportunity, some sort of thing to us, right? And I always think of that command that God gives Adam, right? He plays Adam in the garden and he told him, guard and tend it. And the purpose of it is that if you guard and tend what is given to you, it will eventually grow and expand. But if you don't guard and tend what is given to you, then it dies out. And for me, that's one of my favorite passages. And when you're saying that, that's very true. That's part of guarding and tending your space, is who you allow to enter your garden through your boundaries and then guarding that so that you can be able to grow and expand.
And you know, it's crazy that you know, you're saying that, because I really feel like, look, I feel like for the person that said that to me, I'm very forgiving and I'm a person that gives people two opportunities, but you got to come correct. You have to acknowledge your fault in this issue and your problem with me to begin with, because I don't have a problem with anybody. Mm-hmm. If anything fell out with anybody, there are specific reasons why this happened and they were brought to their attention and they knew. And it was almost like for sure a business decision. At the end of the day, I have to look at this person and think about like, damn, if you came correct and you said, like, let's say me and you, Manny, have an issue. And it's like, I fucked up, Manny, and I hurt your feelings. And, or not even, Manny, you have a whole thing going for yourself. You have a business and I fucked up and I hurt your feelings and I started hurting your business. And I just said, fuck you, Manny. I'm done with you. I don't give a fuck. You can do whatever the fuck. I'm out. I don't give a fuck. And you want to come back and I want to come back and talk to you. How would you want me to talk to you? How would you expect that first interaction to come out to be?
Oh, well, the thing about it is that someone needs to surrender, right? Whether it's myself or whether it's you. For there to be communication, one person has to give leeway, right? The hardest part is nobody wants to give leeway.
Right.
That's the hardest part in communication. That's the hardest part with anybody.
But if, let's say, I'm talking bad about you.
Yeah.
After the fact.
Yeah, and once again, that's why I said that
it don't make it that much easier for somebody to have leeway.
Exactly. It piles up. It piles up to where, like I said, you're not going to want to give that leeway.
Right.
However, the leeway is through what you were saying, which is forgiveness, right? Which if like whoever, whether it's you, whether it's that person, to say, you know what? I forgive you. And you let it go. Genuinely.
I mean, that's what I would hope.
Whether it's from your side or whether it's from their side. But the point being that once you do forgiveness and you let it go, that means there's no longer tension. There's no longer a battle because you've let it go. So like, say for example, right now you're talking about, hey, I can forgive. If you were from your end to just say, you know what? I forgive you. Boom. You let it go out of your heart. You let it go out of your system to where if they do keep talking, if they do keep saying things, it's no longer going to faze you because you're like, that's already.
You know, it's interesting that you're saying that, because initially the day that I heard that this came to my attention, I got angry and I wanted to address the person and call
them. Natural reaction.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, natural
and
reaction.
Then I started pondering on it and I started really thinking, like, am I going to give this guy any type of, or this person any type of free space in my mind? So are you going to live rent-free in my mind? You know what I'm saying? And then I started really starting to think, like, damn, I saw Ty Lopez say something recently that he said, if you don't have 20% of people talking shit about your prices, what you're doing, where you're at in life, or whatever, you're not doing shit.
No, and I agree with you because
so I'm kind of like,
haters, haters are important because haters let you see that you're succeeding.
Right.
So when people are hating on what you're doing, like it's a good response from that community that you're seeing, okay, well, because there's people that will, that's why like when you talked about sharing like your success, you're not supposed to share your success with everybody because not everybody's going to be grateful.
Right.
So like you have to be careful who you share it with because there's a lot of jealous people. So it's like when you see that, that's where you got to be selective of like, who am I sharing it with?
The boundaries that you got to build with.
And the thing is that those haters allow you to know like, oh, I'm doing something. It's like the same thing of like those people that try to be friends with everybody. If you're trying to be friends with everybody, then it's like, bro, you don't have an identity. You don't know who you are.
Right.
If you're trying to be friends with everybody, you can't be friends with everybody.
Right.
You got to have a selected group, right? Of people that you decide like, these are my friends. These are the people I can talk to.
But that's something that really grinds my gears too, is people use the friend word so loosely that sometimes they don't even...
I agree.
They don't acknowledge the fact that, yo, this is an associate. This
well,
is
a coworker. I call them acquaintances.
Acquaintances. Yeah, this like, is a coworker. Yeah. This is a high school classmate. Like, yeah, this is not somebody that...
Friends are, to me, are very limited. Like, there's very few people that I... Like, in my list, personally, that I can be like, this is my friend. To me, a friend is someone that I can literally open up to about anything and just talk to them. And I know that they're going to hear me out or, you know, try to help me. Like, that's someone I can consider a friend.
Right.
I can't... That's not something I can just do that with anybody.
It's a trip, you know? Because the other word that gets used so loosely is homies. Like, that's my homie.
Yeah, but it's another way of saying friend. Right. You know? But like, for me, that's what I said. Like, there's people... Like, for example, if I don't talk to you on a regular, meaning I don't have a personal conversation with you, I don't see you... It's hard for me to consider you a friend because I'm not seeing you. I'm not having a deep conversation with you. It's hard to like me. Like if I just know of you, you know, and I maybe see you here and there on social media, that's an acquaintance at the end of the day.
Right.
It's just someone you know. It's not an actual friend.
Do you guys think one of the things that also grinds my gears, do you guys think that men and women can be platonic friends?
Yes.
Once again, I would say that yes, it's possible if the boundaries are established. Like, exactly. There has to be clear boundaries. Like, I'm friends with women that are married. But, like I said, like, the reason I respect those women and I know that I can be friends with those women, number one is I know their husbands. Number two is... For me, what also gives me the sense that I can be friends with them is that I know, I see the way that they talk about their husbands. At least in front of me, those women that I'm friends with, I've never once heard them talk about their husband. Like, they always talk well about their husband. They show that they love and care for them. And for me, that's like one of the most valuable things is how are you talking about your husband? Because I've also seen the other side. I've seen acquaintances, not friends, acquaintances that I know where, well, those women will talk bad about their husbands and talk about how inadequate they are. And when I hear that type of talk, I'm like, ooh, I can't relate with that person. Why? Because since they're unsatisfied and they don't talk adequate about their husbands, I'm gonna be honest with you. That's the flag that lets you know eventually that woman's gonna cheat. Eventually, that woman's going to fall for someone that treats her, that is satisfying the need that she's not getting from her husband at that moment.
Right.
So, like, that's why I say the women that I'm friends with, that I know, like, I know their husbands, I could talk with them, whatever, but there's boundaries. I'm not texting these girls at 10, 11, midnight. No. Daylight conversation.
See, but that's even like...
Like,
that,
I have my boundaries with them.
You know? You're a very mindful man that, you know, a lot of men out here are very... Like how Drake said, they're all dogs. Most of us are.
And but once again, I just gave you the example though of why I respect them and I can consider them friends.
You know, it's funny you say that though, Enzo, because I saw this meme the other day where it was talking about girls have issues with guys that live with their mom, but don't have issues with guys that live with their wives.
Damn, we've been like, on fire with some little.
I honestly think that when it comes to like that, like I bring it down to it's just a human thing. Like when it comes to like, yeah, men are dogs and all that stuff, but women can be just as...
Women sometimes want what other women have.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, that's the whole thing about if you want to talk about why women prefer someone that's married is because it's someone that's already proven successfully, right? He already has all the indicators. He has all the indicators that he can provide. What does a woman want? She wants safety and provision. So when she sees a man that's already married and is taking care of his wife and everything, they're attracted to that. Why? Because they're seeing, oh, he has safety and provision. I mean, and if you want to get into the semantics, each culture has different things, bro, how they handle it.
For sure.
Yeah.
No, man, that's just how the way the cookie crumbles, as they say. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck that cookie.
This guy, fuck that. Brian, what grinds your gears, bro? I mean, there gotta be something there that's in that mind that's just like, man, that shit pissed me off, man. None.
Gym related,
what is it?
What?
What pisses you off?
When high schoolers are right there, man. These little kids, man.
High schoolers.
Trying to get a good workout in and they're just...
See, that's why you got to go in the morning, Byron.
Not even that. You know, we got to start... You know what the solution to that is, Byron?
Make your own gym.
That's one solution, but the other solution is just you gotta start going to a more exclusive gym. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, true.
Start going to the school gym and fucking
the school. Nah, gym. The generic brand ones. Like, you gotta go to a more exclusive. Like, say for example, if you were to go to Zoo Culture, which is expensive as hell, but at least you know that there's no high schoolers that but can afford to go to that.
You're gonna get annoyed. Some people will get annoyed by the cameras always being filmed, and you're always
That's what I'm saying. There's all pros and cons, but there's so other.
Like, then you have to go to like. Gyms,
however, you can also get an Equinox. You can also say
that. There's other gyms that are not like those bigger names that are just they're just smaller, more exclusive gyms that they're
exactly.
You know, they're not down the street from your house. You might have to drive like 20 minutes to get to it, but. You know, don't get me wrong though, but I understand what you mean though, Byron. Like,
oh, I agree, bro. Hell yeah, bro. I understand that completely.
Gotta play to play sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
Because, I mean,
because, bro, we're about to get to January 1st and the gym is gonna be packed regardless
for
the time
you
go to, bro. Because this is gonna be people trying to
resolution.
Yep, I'll be going.
I love
it
because the gym is packed.
Bro, the first, like, the first 2 months are the most packed, bro. By the time it gets to March 1, it's regular again. It's the regulars.
Yeah, either way, like, it's kind of like, that's something that, you know, every year I feel like you get that whole resolution thing and all that stuff. And now I feel like the new thing now is, oh, like there's 2 months left of 2020 till 2024. I'm already in that. Like, and it's like I get the mentality in doing all that stuff, but it's like people. I feel like you gotta get the notion out of your head that it's like, yeah, it's a new year and a new start. I understand those things, but it's just another day.
I feel like people look at it as we'll start it on Monday.
You know, and it's like I almost do that to myself. Like every month, like, oh, this month I'm gonna do this. It's like, that's one thing that grinds my gears, even about myself. It's just talking a lot of shit that you don't end up doing.
Dang.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what kills your confidence. That's what kills your confidence.
That's what you're saying to me, bro?
That's what kills your confidence is when you cannot keep the word to yourself, it kills your confidence. Because what builds your confidence is, I said I'm going to do this and I did it. Mm-hmm. So like that's what builds your confidence. Byron, does it irk you when people leave the machines dirty and then they make you want to clean it?
I just came up with something and it's related to what you said. Can you ask that question one more time?
Do you get irked when people leave the machines dirty when you're at the gym?
I don't get irked, but what does grind my gears is, and this happened to me a couple of times, I try to like wipe down, you know, I try to be courteous. I'm on the other side of it. I try to be courteous, you know, wipe the machine, and then people just get on it randomly. So I'm like,
The fuck?
I went over there, you know, like I'm trying to be courteous. I'm over here trying to like wipe it down. And sometimes I have like my stuff right there that should indicate somebody's there. It's like reserved. I know it's I'm away, but like, I don't know, it just ticks me off, bro. I'm like, so I went, I go over there for nothing pretty much, you know. So I'm kind of getting in the habit. It sounds messed up, but I kind of don't want to clean after
people. You just leave it like that now?
You clean
that.
Before for yeah. yourself?
Bro, yeah. But then you don't
want to. You got to wipe it down,
you
bro.
You don't want to get no staff infection.
Yeah, but nah, like not even that, bro. All right, so this is a crazy one, bro.
Who?
Oh my God, I can't
believe
I'm
lying. Gears about the
no,
gym.
No, hold on. Story time. I saw this reel, which I thought was disgusting and crazy, where this girl had HPV. And she sweated through whatever she was wearing and the sweat stayed on the seat. And the next person didn't clean it properly. And then that person got HPV through that sweat.
I assume it's a girl who got HPV?
Yeah. Yeah. It was girl, like a girl to girl. But it's still like it's a crazy ass thing. Where it's like literally because of the sweat of someone else and like them not cleaning it properly, like someone else got it. Clean it properly.
We'll do. That's crazy.
You know what really grinds my gears is that we're using our taxpayer money to fund wars instead of fucking using this fucking money to heal HPV, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that, man, social media is just another thing, man.
Remember the 5th of November, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, social media is another.
Damn, bro, you never seen V for Vendetta?
Oh, that's right. That's what I heard. I think I heard that. Bro. I was like, what the fuck? I heard
that was yesterday, somewhere. Bro. 5th, November the 5th was yesterday.
Illuminati.
Yeah. one thing, look, I don't want to get too deep into this, everything that's going on in the Middle East. Because I think that it sucks that a lot of innocent people are dying on both sides. It sucks that...
Is it on both sides really, though?
People have died on both sides. Regardless of the fact... I don't want to get into too much of it. What was crazy to me, though, is...
Both sides, initially. Now it looks like it's a landslide on the other side.
For sure. From what I know, look. Hamas. They're... And a lot of that in that region... There's a lot of people that don't have rights. Two groups of people in specific that I'm going to point out. Women don't have a lot of rights that they have here in the U.S. And a lot of certain minority groups, if you will, don't have rights. Specifically LGBTQ people.
But how does that make rights. That like...
What I'm trying to relate to is that on social media, I'd be seeing a lot of sometimes... support for one side or other stuff. And I'm like, again, I'm not for innocent people dying at all, but it's like, if you were in that situation as a female, as a girl, or as someone from the LGBT community, like you're right. Like, first of all, if you're someone in the LGBT community in where Hamas rules, bro, you're like a criminal basically.
Yes, but do you think... Okay,
you know what
so...
You know what I'm
in
trying
that
to say?
I understand what your point you're trying to make, but can I counter that with... In such a society that is, do you think the proportion of that part of society is that big like it is over here in the States for it to be like, damn, there's a lot
well,
of
when it comes
LGBT
to the,
out
when
there
it comes
like
to
that?
Well, women's demographic, I would say there's still...
Women,
there's
yes, but I'm talking about
women.
The LGBT. Because that's a culture thing that... The you know, being Muslim and having that culture is why it is the way it is. That's not something that we can control because we have our culture and this is the way we have it. Like, it's just a cultural differences, you know? And like, mm-hmm. I can't really put my thumb on that and be like, this is supposed to be that way when it's like, it's a culture difference.
Yeah,
and we just look at it different because it's a culture shock to us.
And I just think that if people were to see that there's all those differences within it, they'd see that this is a way bigger and deeper issue as well. Because it's not just something that just started, first of all, in these last couple of years, these last couple months. It's something that's happened, that's been brewing up for a long time and all that stuff. So it's just, again, on social media, I just see a lot of, like, I see a lot of people just giving their opinions on all these things. And I just read them. I don't reply to them. But I'm just like, huh, like, just very interesting how...
I do too. But it just, like I said, initially it was a sad thing. And then it just went to like a, whoa. It looks like a landslide on the other end.
Oh, for real.
And then our taxpayers being funded
and
there.
That part is what
Ukraine Ukraine and Israel. And I'm like, yo, hold up. Like, my gas is getting hiked up. And you don't expect me to... Inflation's through the roof. We got interest going up. Like...
That's because we live in California.
For sure.
But once again, I've said this many times. And it's a sad reality of the United States is... If you look at the history of the United States, the country has spent, since the foundation, most of its years at war. The moments that it's been at peace, there's always recessions. Wars, unfortunately, fund our economy and help us stay afloat and be the country that we are, which is just very unfortunate.
Oh, that's one of the points that I had to make with the person that I had a debate about this whole situation in the Middle East is that sadly, is as an American, our taxpayer is going to fund bombs being dropped in any part of the world. Whether it be in El Salvador, when they were against the guerrilla, you know, or whether it be in any other part of the world, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and you know, where they have CIA operations or things like that. Like, it's inevitable. As an American, and it's something that I'm ashamed of sometimes to even say that, you know, hey, man, like, fuck, our government and our operatives are over there mingling with other things that have nothing to do with us, but they think that it's in the American interest to have to mingle over there.
Yeah.
It's just a sad reality.
Yeah.
That really grinds my gears.
That does, for sure. I wish that our taxpayer money was definitely doing something else.
Used to, like...
That is something else. What's up, Aries?
The money is going to fund this war, right? Or however it's happening. It's like a tax write-off for Americans.
Oh, hell nah, bro. That deficit is getting piled on.
Nah, the crazy part to me was that... right when this whole thing was popping off, like the IRS... pushed the deadline for taxes. They gave people 30 more days to, and I'm just like, how are the two related? You know what I'm saying?
But this is the thing that's too, bro. Like, I don't know, bro. I don't even want to get into it. It's too deep.
Have a good one. Thank you guys for being here.
Peace, y'all.